Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. Joined this week, I've got Brian Mueller.
That little voice in the back of your head.
Cody Wolf.
I don't remember how it goes from there.
It's not your conscience, it's fear.
It's Jiminy Cricket. And and Jack Estabrook.
Gentlemen, enjoy your massages.
This week we have a new movie. This is a 2013
this
movie.
Is pretty
this came out back in October.
Yeah, this came out in October and we're already talking about
I think I was telling Jack, I think I told you at one point too. I saw the trailer for this like a year before. And then I didn't hear about it, and then I saw the trailer again in the theaters like a year later. Like it was, I don't know if it was held, like they went and did reshoots or something, but
they're gonna reshoot.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. Our movie is Runner Runner, the Ben Affleck, Justin Timberlake starring movie about online gambling that features almost no online gambling.
I know. I wasn't even sure why the online gambling was part of it. They could have been like drug smugglers or something.
Well, a bit more interesting.
It could have been the plot of Paranoia.
Well, this is basically the plot of Paranoia.
And can we mention right now before we get started, we have two podcast returnees with the Strawberry Fields from James Bond is back from Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gemma Atherton.
Thank you.
Is in
and
this.
We also have John Hurd from Sharknado is back with us once again.
I noticed that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, all right, we'll go into this. And to give a little background on this movie. My wife has never really watched. She'll kind of drift through the living room as these movies are on, kind of laugh at them for a second, be like, "What the heck is going on with this?"
Like a zoo.
Yeah, basically, like look at them and be like, what?
"Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's weird."
Yeah. This is the first ever movie for the podcast that she has watched in its entirety.
Wow!
So you should have brought her in.
Well, mixed in with my notes, I have written down some of her comments as she was watching
excellent.
The movie.
This is intriguing.
Starting off with her logic for why she was willing to watch a podcast movie, she said, quote, "How bad can it be? Ben Affleck is in it."
Has she seen Daredevil?
He didn't direct it. Quickly wrote that down and said, "Let's get
Armageddon
this movie started."
Comes to mind right now.
Did that start to annoy her that you were writing down everything she said?
I didn't tell her I was writing down everything she said. Just her. She had some good zingers during it.
Have you guys seen Hot Fuzz?
Yeah. Yes.
Like that scene where he pulls that actor over and he's writing down everything he's saying and it annoys the hell out of him. Why are you writing all that down? Yeah.
All right, so in this beginning of this movie, Justin Timberlake is a college student slash...
He's a grad student, right?
Well, this movie has
to do... He's, like, fallen from Wall Street. Like, he had some career in Wall Street that fell through, and now he's back to school?
This movie had to do somersaults to take... I guarantee you, they had an existing script and had to do all kinds of, like, had to jump through all kinds of hoops to make this work. Because Justin Timberlake is obviously far too old to be playing a college student.
Well, that's why they gave him a background where he worked on Wall Street. And...
Right. So he's a grad student and in trouble. And you're...
He's, like, living in a weird, like, loft with a bunch of other random people.
It's very weird. And he is also a bookie, grad student / bookie.
Yeah. There's a scene where he's talking to Professor Gail Bedecker from Breaking Bad, which I was excited to see him in it.
Oh, yeah.
I still think of him as the warden from Shawshank.
Shawshank. Yeah, they needed to he had to be like, you needed a tough guy, or they needed someone to come off as bad. Because if you think, okay, so Justin Timberlake is encouraging his fellow students to gamble.
Even and professors.
That, right.
Yeah, his professors got some problem.
And we also get one of my favorite things in just a bad movie. When you see a montage of TV news clips talking about something that's completely obvious, where they're like, gambling is a problem. People are gambling. Where does the money go? It goes to gambling. And you're like, we know. I mean, anyone who's seeing this movie knows.
The concept of online gambling is pretty...
It's pretty
mainstream
old
at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we're going into 20 years of online gambling. So... Mm-hmm. If you need to establish, this is essentially, this movie's equivalent of starting it on a shot of the planet Earth.
Right.
You know, like where you're establishing things
it's
you don't need to establish.
It's trying desperately to be relevant. It's trying to make a point.
Right. So basically the warden, the warden tells Justin Timberlake.
Did we ever see the warden's dead body in Shawshank? Because I've always had a theory that he escaped through a hole under a poster of a pretty lady.
Yeah.
So the Rock warden, Hudson. The warden tells Justin Timberlake, close up this gambling operation or you won't have a school to pay for. By the way, not a crazy concept to say to a student, you know what, we're going to have you not, you know, soliciting gambling.
This is like an intervention almost. Like, dude, you're throwing your life away kind of thing.
And Justin Timberlake kind of is playing this off like he's the victim in this, to which point I'm kind of like, movie, no, like he's not the victim.
No. Yeah, because he's like, oh, well, I have you know, debt to pay off for my student loans and all this. Like, well, so is all the other students.
How does he still have student loans after, like, working on Wall Street and, in theory, like, making a bunch of money?
This movie has what Jack and I used to – this is I'm going to make an old reference. Jack and I used to watch Bonanza episodes that would be on, like, in at work here and, like, in the background.
I thought you got together at home and watched Bonanza.
I was like, wow.
We did. We used to get together. We'd watch a few Bonanzas.
We had Bonanza parties. In fact, I don't know why you never came. We always invited you.
Bonanza.
I was called Haas. And
Well,
we quickly noticed that there were really only three Bonanza plots that they just essentially cycled through, and one of them was guy with mysterious past shows up at the Bonanza family ranch, and the Ponderosa, and that's basically what they did here. Like, Justin Timberlake has a dark past. What it is, not important. Just you just have to know he has a dark past.
It's gonna catch up to him someday. Yes.
So he's thinking, okay, he needs something like $40,000.
He needs like $60,000
for tuition.
So he decides to gamble it all away. And he's like, when you're going to gamble big, you got to take risks. And he literally gambles.
Well,
he's
got like $17,000 and he's trying in one night to get to $61,000, whatever it is.
And I want to clarify this because this is going to come back in a minute. He says he's putting everything in it. So he actually puts in like $17,321 and like 14 cents.
Yeah.
Yep.
Literally every cent he has.
So think about, okay, keep that in mind, that the amount he even puts in goes right down to the pennies. Okay. And he gets on this online poker site. By the way, I should note that Ben Schwartz is like his college friend in this, the guy who's like hanging out with him when he's doing this. I don't know. Do any of you guys know Ben Schwartz at all? He's John Ralphio in Parks and Recreation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in.
Oh my God, you're right.
He's super funny. He's on House of Lies on Showtime. Like, when I saw Ben Schwartz, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Schwartz is one of the funniest people on, like, the planet. And I'm like, what is he doing in this? Oh, no. Oh, no. I immediately felt bad for him.
Yeah, he didn't have much of a role.
No,
he was only in it for, like, this one scene, really.
I have a theory about that coming up, too. So he gambles it away. Anyway, he goes up, then he loses, and then he starts, in voiceover, he starts saying, I think I got hustled. The hands that my opponent was making were one in a million.
It was like winning the Powerball four times over.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. Like,
How many times did they go through that shot where, like, they show him on the laptop and then, like, the circle, the camera did, like, a circle.
Yeah, the orbit.
And then, like, to show the time pass. But it was, like, eight times in, like, a span of a minute.
And, like 47 extras just are swapped out every time the camera orbited.
With also not showing the gambling. Like, we only see his reaction.
Yeah, he says one thing about, like, oh, I'm playing this hand because statistically, you know, it's the best hand or whatever. But they never show him playing other hands or, like, you know, using any knowledge of poker to try to win.
There are all these veiled references to how he's somehow an expert at gambling. Like, he knows the statistics. Like, he knows the numbers. Like, he's this intelligent guy who can, like, calculate this all. And the only times you really get it is through lines of dialogue here and there. Oh, I figured it out because I know the numbers. Oh, okay. Why don't you show that in the plot?
Right.
His character just, like, goes back and forth from being, like, a tech-like genius guy and then just being kind of, like, a street-smart guy that knows how to convince people of things. Right. Like,
Yeah.
And so he goes to in my notes say, a magic computer guy tells him the odds were 4 million to 1. I don't know who this guy is. Like, Justin Timberlake
just... He's a Princeton math wizard.
Yeah, he just walks into a lab and a guy's like, oh, this is 4 million to 1. These odds are impossible. Never saw the guy in the movie before. Didn't set him up. Never see him again.
And that would happen many times over in this movie.
Based on that, Justin Timberlake's like, okay, I'm going to Costa Rica.
Right.
Okay.
So.
To try to hunt down Ben Affleck, who was apparently exiled from the country for why?
Because it's illegal to... He has to run the operation from outside of...
Right. Offshore. Okay. Yeah. Well, we also in here meet John
Tax
Hurd.
Tax reasons or something?
For tax,
because it's illegal.
Because it's illegal in the U.S., but if you're running...
What, to run online gambling?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Didn't you watch the news? Didn't you watch the news clip montage in the beginning, Jack?
You know what? I was so
bored. See, it's people like Jack that they need to run these news montages for.
I was so bored. I was just like, oh, look, they got Anderson Cooper to read a line on this stupid movie. You know, next.
You were bored 25 seconds into the movie.
I was. This movie didn't have me at hello.
Jack, you're fired.
I'm sorry.
And John Hurd, we meet John Hurd, who is Justin Timberlake's father in the movie, who
he sits on a bar stool the entire movie and carries it with him. Oh, wait, wrong movie.
Yeah. Well, it's basically, too, it's funny the parallels between this and Paranoia, like we're talking. Like, he's like Richard Dreyfuss.
Paranoia, yes.
That father.
He's like a Richard Dreyfuss in better health.
It's like
and less horny.
The same script.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got kind of that.
And got worse actors to play the lead roles. Yeah.
So
he's got that gambling addiction problem. That wasn't it in So Undercover, where the girl's dad had that
random gambling addiction
that they
right.
never touched on.
And they never really dealt with that at all.
Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He never touched on that.
So then Justin Timberlake's like, well, I think I got scammed, so I'm going to go to Costa Rica to sort this out. How does he get to Costa Rica?
That's what I was wondering. Where is he getting the money for this?
No money, yeah.
I mean, Costa Rica. So he's.
I mean, I know his dad slipped him $100, but.
Like $100. I mean, Costa Rica to fly from. He's at Princeton, so we're even going to say he's flying out of, like, New York or. If he's flying out of New York or Newark.
That's at least $1,000 flight.
That's at least $1,000 flight round trip. I
maybe
don't,
he's and got a lot of frequent flyer miles on his credit card. I don't know.
That could be.
We watched him put every cent he had into like. Don't tell us like I'm putting like 13 cents like the last like
every,
13
every
cents
cent,
into
yeah.
poker and then be like, and I got to get on a plane to Costa Rica.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to ask him like when he was telling his friend he's going to Costa Rica and he's asking him all these questions. I'm like, my first question would be after watching him gamble away. All of his money. How are you paying for this?
Right. Now, here's my theory. I want to come in with this. I am guessing that at one point in the script development, the Ben Schwartz character, who we saw early on, mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake's friend at college, mm-hmm. was also going to be the friend who he has in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. That was probably one part.
Yeah, so I was confused why he wasn't.
That
yeah.
would make sense. And that friend probably was like bankrolling how they get to Costa Rica. And the only thing I can imagine is I also feel like that part was probably written for Jonah Hill. Like when you
Which
look
one?
At the friend in Coast, the friend.
The one who's hiding stuff in cereal boxes?
Yeah.
No, not any cereal boxes. Post-shredded wheat, banana nut crunch cereal boxes. They make sure the camera rests on those.
I feel like it was written for Jonah Hill. Then they couldn't get Jonah Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh... Okay, make it a smaller part. And then probably got Ben Schwartz, who at least is kind of known, but Ben Schwartz was probably like, well, I can't come and shoot this in Jamaica. I'm shooting two series right now. So they just broke it into two parts, making it crazy awkward because the stuff that ends up going on with the friend in Costa Rica, you're like, no one's attached to this guy.
Yeah.
No one
cares
about
him. It
was
funny. At one point, I felt like the two friends that were with him were like in another movie and like you were dropping in on them and like like scenes from some other movie like at one point they go in like he's eating cereal and we're in a bathroom and they're having some conversation. It's like I don't know who these guys are, but it feels like this is a scene from another movie that
they make a parallel movie. Runner 2, the two tech guys.
Like Justin
that'll be called Walker
this movie.
So Justin Timberlake arrives in where is this again, why am I forgetting?
Costa Rica.
And there's a crazy scene where he says goodbye to Ben Schwartz, gets on a plane, lands in Costa Rica, walks into his hotel, and there's a scene where nothing else happens other than, hey, look, two guys, hey, well, we're friends now. All right, see you later in the movie.
He even recognized him. He's like, oh my god, you're the guy who was the guy who he somehow knows like how much he gambled on some site at some time.
Well, no, because he's it's just convenient that he walks out of the airport or the hotel or whatever, and these two guys just stand there. They're like, hey. You're that guy. We know you because he's like...
I know your screen game. Screen name. We're friends now.
Because he's some guy who like gets people to play this game or whatever, so he's known within the community. I don't know. But it's just very convenient that they're all in the same spot.
It's also convenient that he happens to go down like the day of the big like online gaming convention in
Netflix. Yeah, the expo. They're like, you going to the expo?
What great timing.
Because, they're like, you going to the expo? And he's like, I guess. I didn't know what's happening.
It's where everyone's going to be.
It's like plot convenience just fell right in his lap.
Right.
It's almost like they wrote this out before they filmed it.
I think so.
I really questioned at some point, like, what happened with this screenplay? Because I should say, too, the guys who wrote this screenplay are... The same guys who wrote Rounders. If you know the great Matt Damon.
Rounders is good.
Fantastic movie.
Because I kept thinking about, I wish I was watching Rounders throughout the entire film. I was like, why? I just want to watch Rounders. It's a better movie.
They wrote Rounders. They also wrote and directed the great movie Knockaround Guys from the late 90s, which if you know it, it's
no
before
kidding.
Vin Diesel's career became
no kidding.
Like, is that a good movie?
It's a good movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's good.
They must have written this one in a weekend while drunk in a cabin somewhere, and they had to pay off some debt, so they needed to sell a script immediately or something.
I have a feeling this one died in rewrites. I have a feeling somebody came in to, like, quote unquote, clean this up, and that this and it fell apart somewhere in there.
Yeah,
because this doesn't. I mean, there's no, like I said, I mean, the Ben Schwartz and the friend character had to be one character. I don't know what is going on with Gemma Atherton's character
as
the female. I mean, she doesn't even be in the movie.
She doesn't have to be there at all.
She ends up being important at the end, but it's like throughout the whole movie, she's kind of useless.
Kind of ridiculous.
It's like sometimes it's like, well, was she designed to be the double-crossing bad guy? Was she designed to be just a love interest who'd get killed off or used as leverage against him? None of this really happens.
I feel like she's playing a James Bond girl. Ironically in a non-James Bond movie. Like, this is what James Bond girls are doing when they're not, like, around James Bond. They're like, oh, I guess I'm just hustling this weird computer nerd from Princeton.
And then she kind of feels sorry for him at the end of the movie, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Except in the James Bond movie, she was 11 and was killed as leverage against James Bond.
Yeah. So he gets there. He decides he's going to meet up with Ben Affleck, who's notoriously... Oh, we're going to jump around a little bit here.
Ivan Block.
Yeah, Ivan Block. He's got to find Ivan Block. He can't get to Ivan Block. He sees Gemma Atherton, who seems to be somehow connected to Ivan Block. He's
always
like,
nice to see Gemma Atherton.
And they kind of like raise the stakes of like, how am I going to... You know, they set this up like, I've got to get invited to this party Ivan Block's at. How am I going to get invited to this party? What am I going to do? Gemma Atherton, can I come to the party? Yes. Cut to party.
Yeah, that's literally how
that
it
was
happened.
Really easy.
Yeah,
that was incredible. Like, I got the sense that he was gonna try to like sneak in or something. That he had to like fool the guard or like dress up like a delivery boy or something. Nope.
Yeah, we didn't. The only point to the scene is to have him get introduced to Gemma Atherton, a character
at
who
one
we
party.
Don't need him to be connected.
Like, couldn't
to?
They have just like gone to the party scene and just assume that everyone gets invited if,
well,
if all you have to do is ask to get
he
invited.
Used to be he used to be a rep for an online gaming group anyway. So I thought this was like a convention for all the reps to like celebrate all the money that they had made in profits that year. Is that not correct?
I think
party,
that's
I
sort of correct.
Well, I thought like it was like a reception. Well, it was a convention, but
gaming.
I got the sense that this was something... Like Ivan Block's group was like, he has these people who were like his reps. There was a name for them in the movie. I forget what it was. Who were kind of like making commissions by running little, almost like splinter cell, or, you know, like chunks of his online gaming. And like through them, he was raking in all his money.
I think you're right.
Like
I
someone
think,
was
yeah.
like get like a dozen people to do an online game.
Well, yeah, that's what, but
I don't for commission.
Yeah, I think that's what was going on. But at the same time, like Ivan Block / Ben Affleck is weirdly separated from them. So Justin Timberlake gets to go to this party. By the way, the party's theme, if I'm understanding it correctly, is a state fair themed party in Costa Rica.
They brought in like a roller coaster and everything.
A huge
they went all
Ferris
out.
Wheel.
And... Well, like a Ferris wheel and like very state fair rides. But I also feel like someone in the movie was like, oh God, this is really hokey. Because they don't really show it to you. You just kind of see it in the background
I
of
shots. I
think
there was like one establishing shot, like a wide shot.
Like a wide shot. And I feel like they were like, oh, we got to downplay this. This looks weird. Like, why would this party be state fair themed? So you're kind of able to like catch glimpses of it behind characters.
Ivan Block is from upstate New York.
Yeah, he's
he is.
Where's the butter sculpture?
Really into corn dogs.
Who wants some dinosaur barbecue?
So... Then,
what was going on with this?
I don't know.
This paper.
I don't know.
I
he
don't
like.
Know.
Oh yeah. They go out of the way to show him like developing this weird. Like he's developing pictures, but it looks all white.
He like takes like paper that like has stuff written on it and puts it in liquid so that the writing goes away.
Yeah, it makes the page blank.
Was he afraid he was going to get like searched going in? Why didn't he just write? If he's just going to stand on a chair and
why
flash
didn't he
a written
get
message,
some plain copy paper? Why did he get
and a Sharpie?
Well, let's explain what happens with it. So just we as Brian was saying, Justin Timberlake is doing this weird chemical thing in his seedy hotel room. He then goes up to the party and he goes over to a security camera and holds up this paper that he'd been doing. But like Jack is saying, it wasn't like someone was going to not let him into the party and be like, hey, what's that paper?
Yeah. You know,
like, it wasn't like he had a giant sign. It was just paper.
Yeah, because there's like invisible ink on it or something.
Yeah,
right?
So he then holds...
can apparently only be seen through a security camera.
Which apparently he assumes Ivan Block is watching, or security guys are going
to
go get him.
Yeah, so he holds it up to the camera, and it's like, I got cheated on your website.
I have proof.
And then just stands there. At which point, then security guards instantly grab him. They're like, hey, weirdo, get away from that with that blank piece of paper.
And, who let you in with that paper?
Yeah.
No paper allowed.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. This is a no paper party. Yeah.
Someone's losing their job.
Yeah. Wait, so, all right, my question is, all right, if that's his logic, that he thought that, you know, he was
going to get searched. First of all, even saying the word logic apply, like, makes this trouble, but go ahead.
Even if he thought that he was going to get searched with that paper, why did he have to take paper that was already written on,
I know, and make it blank,
put it
out
in chemicals to make it blank, and then do whatever invisible ink on it? Why couldn't he just get blank paper?
Come in with blank paper and a Sharpie and just write it.
Is there a paper shortage in Costa Rica that there's no blank paper? Right. Everyone has to reuse paper that's already been written on?
Yeah. I don't know. This is, by the way, even weirder than we're portraying it as. If you go and see this. So the guards grab him. They bring him over to Ben Affleck, who's apparently sitting about 20 feet away.
Like,
right.
They're like, camera. The camera's
just written in Sharpie and like held out like that to him.
Yeah.
Like, pull a Norma Ray and be like.
Yeah. He could have like John Cusack. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just done like so many other ways. But he gets broke. You know, they bring him over. He says, the scene is amazing. He says
it
to
really
Ben
is.
Affleck, he goes, hey, I was cheated on your website. I can prove it. I've got this paperwork that shows I was
this
cheated.
This paper I didn't blank out.
Yeah. I did my.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong paper. Yeah. Sorry. You have to look at this through a security camera. Damn it. Why did
just
I
just walk
put
over
that?
The, yeah, walk over through a security camera.
Hey, what if I go back over there and point that it's from the camera so you can see it again?
So he says, I was cheated. And then Ben Affleck just says, well, thank you. Have a good night. End scene. Cut to.
Oh, this is, yeah.
Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake now talking on a boat.
Well, no, it's before that, they cut to him waking, or someone knocking on his hotel room door.
Oh, yeah.
And he answered, there's just two guys standing there, and he just stands there.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him walking up to the boat. It was like,
why are
conversation implied.
Yeah. Like,
why are these two different scenes?
Yeah, why couldn't you just have that conversation happen there?
Yeah, you essentially cut from them having a conversation to them having a conversation somewhere else. Something happened in editing here, or something weird happened.
Well, and Ben Affleck's line here, too, is super awkward. Like, it feels like they wrote this line just to get it around to casinos, because he's like kind of cutting a fish, and he goes, I'm the kind of man who believes you should eat everything, or you should kill your own food or something like that. And he goes, just like the Indians own casinos. It was like, he's like, brings it around to casinos and gambling.
Yeah, it
it's
was
like,
actually, you're to, right.
Like, awkwardly shoehorning this
it's
into
like
the movie.
It's the reason you had him cutting a fish. There's no scenes of him enjoying fishing or anything in the movie.
He's, well, it was almost like they wanted to say, like, as a, you know, message from the movie, gambling is terrible, but you know what's great? Native Americans. Right. So don't punch us.
It's almost like they're trying to make him kind of like a Bond villain. There is a scene, like, in Live and Let Die where he is feeding crocodiles chicken.
That's what I was thinking too, yeah.
Yep.
And admiring, and you look at my crocodiles in the bag, and Justin Timberlake standing there kind of scared. Is he going to throw me in, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure Ivan Black, like, killed all the food that he served at his New York State Fair party.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You God, mean
these
he parties killed, are exhausting.
He killed an Oreo and deep fried it.
Yeah. So Ben Affleck says now to Justin Timberlake, he's like, hey, thanks for exposing this cheat. I'm really glad we had some bad programmers or something. I don't know. And he's like, here's your money back. Here's a little extra for you. I really appreciate it. Or... do you want to take a job with me? Which
I like
is,
your style, kid.
Yeah. Which right when he said that, I'm like, this is paranoia. This is like Gary Oldman in Paranoia. And he's like, well, you can go back to New Jersey and be a grad student, or you can take a job with me. And they just kind of laugh. He's like, ha ha ha. Why would I go back to New Jersey? To which point, I'm like, yeah, why did you start this movie with him as a grad student? We didn't need anything with him as a grad student. Yeah, We never go back to Princeton.
Just because he owed tuition. But it didn't, like I said, it didn't matter because he just left college anyway. So it's like,
well, like a normal person, if they're offered a job where you made like $1 million in the first year. Most people, even if they had a solid job, would like take that offer.
Yeah. Let me set up a scenario for you, an alternate opening to the movie.
Okay.
Just Justin Timberlake is a shady guy who, you know, is sending people to this online gaming company who also gambles himself. He gets cheated and says, oh, I should go to Costa Rica.
Yeah. Which well, why did he have to owe tuition? He could have just lost all his money.
Well, I was talking about this with my wife. The joke of this movie is they're working, much like Paranoia, they're having to work very hard to make their hero seem like a good guy. So you have to be like, oh, he's just a scrappy grad student trying to find his way in the world. And you're like, no, that's not even important. And he never goes back to college. Yeah,
he's
and
so
all
seedy.
Of the stakes they set up in the beginning never pay off.
Yeah.
Because like, Go ahead.
I was going to say, as soon as he takes the job, he's just like the seedy character for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
I almost feel like they did the grad student.
He crosses the line quite quickly.
Yeah.
I feel like they did the grad student thing to show that he was smart enough to get into Princeton to like legitimize why he was able to like figure all these things out, and like he was a math whiz and he could bring all these other smart people with him.
Maybe
it's a long way to go for that.
I don't know
why they couldn't have made him a Princeton grad,
right?
But
yeah, I think that's why you were, even if he had been working on Wall Street and had online gaming, so had the money to go down to be like, hey, I'm flying myself to Costa Rica to go after this guy. You know what? I'm going to stop rewriting this movie because it's just making me madder.
Let's remake Runner Runner.
We can make it so good.
$5,000 budget.
So
Ben still make it better.
Ben Affleck offers Justin Timberlake a job. Cut to Justin Timberlake is running
like
this
six
operation.
6 months later,
yeah.
He even has
a
voice.
Is this a time jump?
There's even like a...
Yeah.
It's not like the next day?
No. There's like a line of voiceover where he says like, within 6 months I was running the... I was pretty much running the place or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
But he did do one thing that the guy from Paranoia didn't do, and he gave his friends a job.
He brought
his friends along with him. And
yes.
Yeah, it is true.
Yes.
He didn't douche his friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, in Paranoia, like, Hemsworth screwed, like, people who are actually his friends for years. Like, in this movie, Justin Timberlake met these people in an airport one day, and he's hooking them up with jobs.
Yeah, I mean, he's really...
I think Liam Hemsworth could learn a great deal from Justin Timberlake from this movie.
Oh, sorry, bro. I lost your resume.
Yeah,
which actually would have been a better move for them, since he ended up in the end like getting them killed.
Yeah. And so we also get there's a whole running storyline, kind of a concurrent storyline going on, which goes essentially nowhere. Of the Costa Rican government wants more in bribes from Ben Affleck, and Ben Affleck is paying them tons in bribes. They want more in bribes.
Yeah.
And later Timberlake will
use this.
It comes up later, but it's very
to his
fillery.
Advantage. And yeah, it is kind of fillery.
That first scene between Ben Affleck and the Costa Rican gaming guy was hilarious. In that, I don't think I've ever seen a worse scene where they go from one language to another for completely no purpose.
Yeah. Slipping in and out of Spanish.
The Costa Rican guy will start a sentence in Spanish and then switch to English
like
in the middle.
Back and forth like a
even
tennis
word.
Match. Yeah. It was kind of almost like the Costa Rican guy was like, hold on. Would it be easier for American audiences if at this point in the sentence I randomly switch over to English? Yeah.
As opposed to just
like
having the whole
movies...
scene in Spanish and subtitle it, or have the whole scene in English and throw in a little line like, oh, I'll speak English.
I would have given this movie some credit if they'd subtitled that scene.
Yeah,
in fact,
absolutely.
I think that scene would have been more powerful had they subtitled it.
Yeah.
It does. You're right. Brian's right. This makes it more ridiculous by copping out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so annoying.
It really was annoying. I'm like,
the director was
why not just keep one or the other? If you guys both speak English and Spanish,
keep it
what
consistent.
Are you, like, showing off
one,
to each
yeah.
other?
Right.
Or maybe do like a Star Wars thing and have the one guy speak in Spanish and the other guy speak in English, but they still understand each other.
Right.
When did they do that in Star Wars?
In the original trilogy, whenever aliens spoke to human characters, they would all speak in their native languages.
Oh, like Greedo and Han Solo.
Like Greedo and Han Solo, yep. Yeah. I think in the newer Star Wars movies, they went through the thing where like they'd speak little languages.
That actually makes even less sense, though.
If you both speak
two languages, why would one speak one?
You just pick one.
Well, it also explains that's why, you know, Han shot first. Yeah, you know,
like,
Han,
he was like, enough of this roadie.
Speak English.
Speak English. You know, what's going on here? Yeah. I'm just going to shoot you. Stop, you know.
It's
annoying
me.
Yeah.
He's got his babblefish in his ear. He can understand it.
Yeah.
Oh, ho, ro, ho.
And we also get, okay, so Ben Affleck is running.
Yeah, no, he gives him this horse for some reason.
Well, he gives,
and there's a callback on the joke that's not funny.
It's not funny.
Red eye.
Yeah. And Ben Affleck, in addition to running a huge online gambling empire, seems to also be running a real casino, like with gaming tables and stuff in Costa Rica, which I don't really understand, but does seem to take up a lot of his time and Justin Timberlake's time.
But I don't know what's happening at all.
I don't know. Yeah,
keep talking about. I don't know.
Like the. It's not clear how this business works because all of their money.
I didn't know
if
that was just another party where he was having because
this guy's like shooting dice.
I don't think it's a party. No, I think they run this as a casino. Yeah, they come back. They keep coming back.
Like, is this like another string of income? Maybe Ivan Block owns a casino. I don't know.
But this would be like the equivalent of like the Coca-Cola Corporation running like a convenience store. You'd be like, why are you like in the bigger picture? This is why are you wasting your time running one convenience store if you're running this massive, you know, billions and billions of dollar company?
Yeah.
Are we to the part where Justin Timberlake for some reason takes over a craps table?
Yes, that's where we are.
That's where we're at.
Yes.
The guy's shooting craps, and then he like is complaining because he slid the dice, and the guy working the table is like, "You slid the dice," and he's like, "Screw you!" And he starts like throwing racial slurs at him.
Yeah.
So then Justin Timberlake's easy, I got this. A free throw for the gentleman, you know, to try to calm him down.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is like, you know, they painted Justin Timberlake as some like math whiz who knows the odds in poker and stuff like. Craps is just like pure chance, like
right.
And even like he like says to that Ben Affleck's girlfriend / Justin Timberlake's girlfriend, Strawberry Fields. He's
slash
like,
Gretel.
Yeah, slash Gretel. He's like, this goes bad. I'm gonna need some credit. It's like, what kind of plan is this? Like,
I know. And why are you involved?
Why didn't you just say like, all right, calm down. You can have a free roll and just let the guy who is running the table keep running it. Like, why is he sticking his neck out to possibly like. Cost his boss all this money in a game of chance. Like, if it was poker, I could understand because you'd be like, okay, he's going to step in. He's going to beat him because he's great at poker.
And that
like,
might be
craps.
A good,
he's just watching the guy throw dice around.
Right. And you're running a Costa Rican casino. A guy did something that's blatantly illegal to slide
like
the dice.
You could
just be like,
kick him out.
Hey, guess what? We're about to have two huge dudes punch you into hamburger.
They've established no one has any qualms with beating up or killing people.
Right. Yeah.
And then he, like, antagonizes him on the way out.
Right.
Because he rolls a 7, and he's like, house always wins, mother baby! It's like, okay, calm down.
I know.
Could have just kicked him out. You didn't have to be, like, really mean about it.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And we do get our first of, I don't know if you guys know this, but, like, Justin Timberlake has a deal with Bud Light. Do you guys know that?
What
he's done with
Bud
Light?
Oh, that's why he was drinking, he's in this classy casino, and he's drinking this aluminum bottle Bud Light.
Yeah,
I'm a beer and pizza guy. She's like, oh, really? That's what you're drinking? And like, Emma Atherton's like, that's what you're drinking, really?
She tries to give him a shot of something, and he's like...
You see him with Bud Light all movie long.
She calls him out for being like, okay, yeah.
And it was like Mac and me hand placement, where like the Bud Light was perfectly visible the way he was holding the bottle.
There's like a little spotlight on it, just like a special light.
And I'd like to see my second note I have for my wife. The question she asked at this point is, what about his college? Which I'm like, I don't know. That storyline is long gone, honey.
He's going to be really behind on his papers.
Yeah. She's like, didn't he just
taking
need
online...
money for college?
Like, he's taking online classes.
I'm like, nope. Don't expect
he's
that
He's at the Phoenix now, earning his master's degree. I earn my master's degree in online gambling from the Phoenix.
DeVry.
So now the FBI kidnaps Justin Timberlake, and he meets
up with...
You
don't know they're the FBI at first, because you know he's involved in some shady stuff, so they kind of try to trick you into thinking it's not the FBI.
Right.
But then he shows up, and he says he's with the FBI.
He's Agent Orange Juice.
Yep.
Basically.
Yeah. I was so... Oh, why wasn't this Josh Holloway?
Yeah.
I was like, that would have been awesome if it were Josh Holloway.
Yeah, why didn't that FBI character have some distinctive thing that he ate or drank?
I know. It would have helped. Yeah.
Like a banana or a coconut or
it
something.
It helps you remember the character, though, doesn't it? It
that
worked.
Actor,
pomegranate.
That actor, I think his name's Anthony
That's
Mackie.
The guy from Pain and Gain.
Yes, and he's going to be
and
the Falcon.
The Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's going to be the Falcon in the new Captain America movie.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do a bad job. It was just, you know...
So for reasons that are unclear, the FBI is fascinated by online gaming in Costa Rica. They want to take down Ivan Block. They want Justin Timberlake to work with him. And if Justin Timberlake won't work with him, they say that Princeton is going to charge him with promoting gambling in the U.S.
Which basically means he won't be able to return to the U.S. as long as he stays in Costa Rica working for Ivan Block, making millions of dollars. There's no problem.
Correct.
So what kind of a threat is that? He's already loving his
Justin
job.
Justin Timberlake has also shown no interest in going back.
Because he wants to graduate from Princeton.
Right. And it's like, okay, and much as like in Paranoia, he kind of keeps giving like non-committal answers to this FBI guy, like, I'm not saying no, but I'm not saying yes. I don't know. Get away from me.
Then he immediately goes to Ben Affleck, though, and tells him, hey, I just got picked up by the FBI.
And it's some random basketball game.
He's playing in like an air up there, like basketball game. I thought Kevin Bacon was going to be there.
This was actually, and I can't take credit for this joke. This goes to my wife. So this game is going on. My wife just says, wait, she just goes, wait, isn't Ben Affleck's character trying to lay low, like have people not know where he is? I said, yeah. She goes, why is he playing in a basketball game wearing a jersey with his name on the back? I don't know. That's a good point.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, because they said like earlier in the movie, like, Ivan Block's a mystery. No one ever gets to him. He's like, no, well, if you come out to the park every Sunday, he plays basketball.
Well, that guy's jersey says Block.
There he is.
He checked in on Foursquare.
Yeah.
He's not even good. He doesn't even like basketball, as he said. He's like, I'm not even good at this game. Right. There's a team, so I play with them.
We needed something to be going on in the background. It's this wasn't just
You know what it is? It's an office charity game with the guys from the other online gambling syndicate that exists in Costa Rica.
And now, now Ben Affleck gives Justin Timberlake a job. Because Ben Affleck kind of is like a buyer of all these smaller online gaming websites, and he wants to own them so that he's controlling all the traffic of them. So he says to Justin Timberlake, we need you to get this guy who is this small site. I want to own it. Get him to sell it for this. These are the terms. And Justin Timberlake goes, talks to the guy. He's like, hey, use the terms. The guy's like, nah, I want more. Justin Timberlake's, well, fair enough. You know, it goes back to Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck's like, you got to make it happen. Do whatever it takes. Get in his head. Do this.
Find out what he wants.
What does he, you know, work leverage against him?
Well, because there's a convenient line, which I, as soon as he said it earlier when he's talking to the guy, the guy's like, yeah, I'm only going to be around for like a day. I got to get back home. My wife just had a baby, or she's having a baby. And I was like, they wouldn't say that if that wasn't going to. So as soon as Ben Affleck said, oh, you got to find some way to get leverage on him, I'm like, okay, well.
So the hero of our movie, Justin Timberlake, again, the hero blackmails this guy by setting him up with a bunch of Costa Rican prostitutes and then videotaping it, showing him the videotape and saying if he doesn't sell his website, he will send this to his family. Thanks, hero.
I like how the guy who he's talking to, like, doesn't really seem angry with Justin Timberlake. He's just like, oh, I'm such an idiot.
Yeah. Well, then there's a great line.
Well, he does say, go ahead.
Because the guy is like, oh, I bet you're going to offer me less money for my website now. Yeah. And then Justin Timberlake's, no.
Same terms.
Ivan wants you to feel good about working with us. What? Yeah. Well, the guy did videotape me having sex with prostitutes and threatened to send it to my wife and family. I do feel good about him, though, as a business partner.
He did honor our original agreement.
He does have the line, too, where he says, he goes, to Justin Timberlake, he goes, well, I can't blame you. You're a nobody. I guess I'm just an idiot. So he's like, not even so at Justin Timberlake. He's just like, oh, okay.
Guess I walked into that one.
I really left myself open for that blackmail.
I went on a boat provided by the company and had sex with prostitutes provided by the company. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
Well, that's cost of doing business, I guess. So now, somewhere in here, Justin Timberlake comes back to the apartment he shares with poor man's Jonah Hill and another character, who his other friend.
I don't even remember seeing him before, like, the scene where they started living together.
Were they in the three? Was he in one of the 3D orbit scenes? Was he in one of the 3D orbit scenes when he was gambling at the beginning of the movie?
No.
They met those guys at the airport.
These are the strangers he met at the airport. He said, hey, I recognize your screen name.
I saw them so briefly, I couldn't remember if those were the same people necessarily. Yeah.
Well, that's what made it clear, because one of these friends
They were extras.
Yeah, one of these friends is like, I'm out of here. I got to get out. This is dangerous. To which I notice, I'm like, who is this again? Like, why is this?
It's like, okay.
Yeah, all right. Like, I'm sorry to hear you're out of the movie. In a related story, you were in this movie? Like, so he's out.
Well, that's why I felt like it was another movie. Like, he was in some trouble in some other movie. He's like, I gotta get out of here.
I feel like they were in a better movie. I gotta get out
of
here.
Nicolas Cage is hot on my trail.
I bet those...
Like, that's taking place behind the scenes of this movie.
I bet those two had a better movie going
Nicolas
on.
Nicolas Cage is back from hell and trying to kill me with his penance gun.
With his god gun, yeah. And so that's, like, your first, supposed to be, like, your warning sign. Like, hey, maybe things aren't all good with Ben Affleck. Maybe Ben Affleck, who's had Justin Timberlake blackmail a guy, isn't okay. Now Justin Timberlake has to deliver a bribe to a politician.
Yeah.
And the politician has...
The guy with the horse.
Yes, the guy with the horse.
Rojo's owner.
Yes. And he doesn't like the amount of the bribe, so he has Justin Timberlake beat up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. So they take him out back and start beating him up. Who is that guy that jumps out of the car and starts firing the gun in the air and then gets beat up after that?
I think we're not going to worry about him. It's probably the guy who brought Justin Timberlake to the party.
Yes.
Because later on...
I thought it was one of the FBI guys.
Because later on, he shows up...
Does he?
And helps Justin Timberlake.
Well, I think he was... Oh.
He's one of the guy he bribes later in the movie.
Oh my god, you're right.
You remember him? He was wearing a wife beater. Wife beater.
Who the hell was this
guy? And I'm like... And he escorts him to, like... A guy, I think the pilot.
Maybe
he
met him. Yeah.
But I'm like, wait, who was this guy working for?
He's part of this underground network that we're never shown.
Right.
Maybe he met him at the airport too.
Yeah, that didn't. I was
no, no, you're right. You're right. I have no idea who this guy is.
Because I thought he was working for Ivan Block.
Well, I assumed he was working for the FBI, and maybe the FBI had a tail on Timberlake. And then when he saw bad things happening, he just ran out of the car.
But you're right. He didn't work for the FBI.
But no, he didn't. Yeah.
And if he. If
you're
makes
the actor
no
who
sense.
Played this character and you're listening to this podcast, please let us know.
I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, that didn't add up at all.
I was so confused, and because then that guy got beat up.
Yeah, immediately.
They just took his gun and they beat him up.
I don't know. So anyway, Justin Timberlake ends up going back to Ben Affleck and is like, "Hey,
what the hell?
Yeah,
you gotta take some punches if you want to work for me.
I got beat up.
Sure changed him."
And then Ben Affleck has a great line where he's like, look, I'm sorry you got beat up, but if I'm telling the truth, I'd do it again.
It's like, if I tell you to go out there and take a beating, you take that beating, you come back and say, do you need me to do it again?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I knew that movie was in trouble because that was in the trailer. I'm like, oh God, if that's the line they're showing to sell the movie.
Yeah.
And Justin Timberlake's like, well, this is a good time to be flying out. I think I'll be hitting the road, hitting the friendly skies.
It's been fun. It's
been great.
Got some comparative economics classes to take at Princeton. I'm
way
behind
on my homework.
Yep. At which point, the FBI block him from flying out because they need him to get information on Ivan Block. And they basically say, no, you cannot leave. You need to work with us or we will destroy you.
We will crush you.
Break him.
We will cut off your Johnson.
Yeah. And so he just goes back.
I love when Jack makes a joke that's funny. He always looks so delighted with himself.
Is that Big Lebowski? Is that one?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, that's from the Big Lebowski. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
I forgot
the
about the ferret, right?
The Nihilist. Yeah.
That's good.
So after a brief trip to the airport, Justin Timberlake just goes back to his...
What I love about this is they establish that Ben Affleck knows, like, everything that's going on, but then there's, like, some things that you're not... I mean, I guess you're supposed to assume he did try to leave.
He did try... Well, he tried... Because
he told that story... He told that weird story about... What was that? He's told some story about, like, someone running or some metaphor for running.
Yeah.
So it kind of made you think that he knew he went to the airport to try to get away, but he didn't know about the FBI agent.
Right. I'm not even sure.
I'm not even... Yeah. So he goes back to his house he lives in with poor man's Jonah Hill.
Who's actually rich.
Well, and he's keeping his money in a cereal box.
Rich man,
box.
Poor man,
post
Jonah
cereal
Hill.
Boxes. That's
right. Yeah, post cereal brand boxes. And poor man's Jonah Hill was kind of like, hey, I think there's something wrong at our company. You know, kind of says something to the effect of like, I think I'm onto a scam. I'll tell you about it later.
Like, bad idea.
Okay. Which we should note, we're now well into this movie. And my wife has been watching the movie the entire time. She turns to me during this scene with the guy who's supposedly Justin Timberlake's friend, and my wife just simply says, "Who's that guy?" I'm like, this movie really is troubled. If they have established him so poorly that someone who's watching and paying attention is unclear as to who he is or what his role is in the movie, you're not doing well.
And then he just disappears at that point. He's just not in the movie anymore.
Right, right.
Because Justin Timberlake is on his, he's going to go home and talk to him about what he knows. And then he gets picked up by Ivan Block's guy.
He's just constantly getting, like, thrown into cars in this movie.
He's always just getting
Which is also very paranoia. Like, where we, you know, just constantly.
This movie has more paranoia in it than paranoia.
It does, also true. Also true. Yeah, because now.
I mean, paranoia could have been called Runner Runner.
I think this movie. I think this movie was made, though, for 40 cents on the dollar compared to the other movie. Sorry.
Go back to Big Lebowski jokes.
So Ivan Block picks up Justin Timberlake and he's like, "Here's what we did. We've got your now. Your dad is here. We're holding your dad here in Costa Rica," which instantly prompted the thing for me. I'm like, "Wait, that's right. Justin Timberlake has been rich now for like a year and he's done nothing to help his dad out
still
in
has
the U.S.
gambling debt."
Yeah, it would have been a lot easier if he had just paid off his dad's debt.
He's hanging out at Finn's bar waiting for the sharks to come.
This is the prequel to Sharknado.
Yeah, Ivan Block buys his dad's gambling debt, which Justin Timberlake probably had enough money in his sock to like buy for like most of the past year.
He's got enough,
his money in his, oat brand his gambling
banana nut crunch.
So he goes and talks to his dad, and his dad is like, "Don't be a hero. Save yourself. You know, get out of here. This is bad." To which Justin Timberlake, I wanted him to be like, "Dad, I tried. I tried to sell you down the river, but the FBI are already on to me.
I totally forgot about you until
I totally
brought you
forgot
here.
You were in this movie until you showed up
dad.
Here. I thought you were still in Sharknado." And then, I'm sorry. The friend then calls him, the poor man's
Stony
Hill.
Calls him,
And the friend's like, "I figured the scam out, but I need to show it to you in person."
Yeah, come home.
Goodbye.
And that's when he gets picked up by
by
the other Ivan Block's other henchman, and he gets taken out on the boat.
Gets taken out on the
boat. Some guy with a beard.
Yeah, the beard guy.
Yes. And now they go to some weird island where Ivan Block kicks a bunch of guys into the water.
Well, it's the
is
guy
one
with
of them the
horse.
Politician? Oh, it
it's
is
the
horse
Rojo guy. Rojo and his henchman.
Yeah, okay. Henchman or friend or something.
And here's the when that scene, the scene earlier when Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake are throwing the chickens into to Ben Affleck's pond or whatever, and the crocodiles are eating them. I was thinking like, oh, this is gonna be a callback. But then they did like a weird thing here where like they kind of called it back but didn't.
Because it's like
because they went to like a different location where Ben Affleck thought there were crocodiles.
Yeah,
but he had crocodiles in his pond.
Why wouldn't you just go to his pond where he has crocodiles?
Right. Why are you looking for theoretical
crocodiles? Why did they show
crocodiles?
Us that scene of him eating, of throwing, feeding crocodiles?
Just to establish that he's aware of crocodiles.
The
that
crocodiles
they exist in the world.
Yeah. They do. They wanted
and
to
they
set up
meat.
That crocodiles.
But they should have
exist.
Opened up. They should have opened up the film instead of news reports. They should have opened it up with Wild Kingdom stock footage talking about the crocodile and his natural habitat.
That'd be like a Bond villain, like at you know how like in the middle of Bond movies, the villain will always like kind of unveil his plan. And it'll be like, "This laser can cut through anything."
Right.
And then like you know like okay later on Bond's gonna be tied to that and the laser's gonna be about to cut him and then he's gonna escape. But then that'd be like him taking him to like an archery range for the climactic scene. Be like, oh.
Right, right.
I mean, he had the laser there. It's like this. Like, he had the pond with the crocodiles.
Yeah.
But he went to the place that maybe has crocodiles.
Right, right.
And they had to take a boat there?
Which was
I mean, Ben Affleck could have just stayed home and had the crocodiles there.
Yeah.
And he had an awful lot of chicken fat with him, so you knew he really thought there were crocodiles there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he dumps chicken fat on the two guys, and he's...
I thought it'd be funny if he just like tied a raw chicken to them.
That would have been better. I have a note here. I just love how this movie goes nowhere.
I kill all these chickens and I feed these goddamn crocodiles.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Tired of feeding these. I feel like Captain Hook. The movie just goes nowhere. Like, we've kind of sat in, like, this stall mode in the movie for what seems like 45 minutes of, yeah, okay, like, it's that terrible, like, Wall Street-esque storyline of young protege realizes his boss is actually terrible.
Yeah.
And he's got to get out of it. But, like, Justin Timberlake doesn't really do anything to get out of it, and also doesn't do anything to get, like, nothing changes. Like, I don't even know that Justin Timberlake's, well, we can talk about this at the end. I don't even think his character has an arc at all.
Absolutely not.
I really don't. His character is no different from the beginning of this movie to the end of this movie. And then just, like, nothing happens. And Gretel is kind of hanging around.
Well, Gretel, the thing with Gretel,
Story Fields or whatever.
The thing with Gretel is they're, like, setting this thing up with, like, in the beginning, it looks like she's with Ben Affleck, and then Justin Timberlake starts kind of wanting to get with her. And so you think that it's going to be... Well, I thought it was going to be one of those things where, like, Ben Affleck sees her with him, and then that's when he starts, oh, I got to get rid of this guy, and that's when all this stuff starts. But it's like, at one point she says, I guess you want me to keep away from him, and Ben Affleck goes, no, you can do whatever you want. And it was like, oh, I guess you're free to be together. I don't understand. Basically, the point of her being in this movie was just for the end.
Her character is mystifying.
Yeah. There was so many throwaway lines in the scenes between Ben Affleck and Gretel. Like, there was that one where she's like, do you want me to stay away from him? And he's like, no, do whatever you want. God knows I have.
Yeah.
And they, like, laugh about it. It's like, oh, we don't know these characters, so that means nothing. Right.
Yeah.
Great.
And then maybe I'm jumping around a little bit. Basically, the FBI at some point says to Timberlake,
like, they, like, kid in, like, the fifth scene where a car pulls up in front of Justin Timberlake and throws him in.
Like, come on.
They kidnap him again. Yeah, I feel like Justin Timberlake at this point, he must, like, every time a car goes by, he's like, looking around frantically. Thank God.
Again.
The car's, like, just parking. He's like, no. Yeah,
just going through an empty
going
building.
Going to the store, hombre.
Yeah. There's a great line from, like, Anthony Mackie's FBI agent where he essentially says, like, all right, Justin Timberlake, you got 48 hours to get evidence in Ivan Block, implying, like, hey, this movie's got to end. Like, we are going nowhere.
I like in that scene, the second FBI kidnapping scene when, like, they like are about to throw him out of a window.
Yeah.
And then they pull him back, and Anthony Mackie's like, all right, we went about this all wrong. I'm sorry. But, you know, just get us some evidence in 48 hours, and we'll forget about all this.
Yeah.
Why don't they take a picture of him, like, shaking hands? Yeah, they take a send this to Ivan Block.
Like, and he says, if you don't get us evidence in 48 hours, we're sending this to Ivan Block.
Which, by the way...
Ivan Block already knows that.
Right. Justin Timberlake has already said to Ivan Block, hey, the FBI has been talking to me.
He could have just gone and said, hey, they forced me to take a picture with them. They're going to send that to you.
Well, I love that picture, too, because then, like, let's say he, like, sent that to Ben Affleck. He wants Ben Affleck to think that, like, they're what, like, out in the town sightseeing, taking pictures together, smiling? Like,
It would have been funny if he was like, look, they forced me to take the picture, but I agreed to autograph it.
But we did have a great lunch together.
Right, it seemed like the right thing to do. And
it was first profile.
I don't work with him professionally, but, you know, I could see a friendship blossoming.
Right. Yeah, we have a lot in common.
We've been antiquing all day.
So we really don't know why JT isn't working with the FBI.
Well, he kind of is now.
I think it's just because they're huge jerks. Like, if they, like, look, we'll get you out of the situation, just help us out with some evidence. But they're, like, keep throwing him into cars and threatening to throw him out of windows and pulling guns to him. And...
You know what this made me think of? Because it drew me back to Cold Light of Day, when at the end of the movie, Henry Cavill gets offered a CIA job. Like, Henry Cavill has been a wild-eyed spaz all movie long. This is what happens when you offer, like, Henry Cavill's character a job with, like, the FBI or CIA.
I would have loved to see where Justin Timberlake, like, wildly ran into a U.S. embassy, like a crazy person.
Oh, we completely forgot to talk about one of my favorite lines from the first FBI interrogation scene, where he's like, I want to put you down because I like it. I like putting down Princeton guys.
Oh, that's right.
Because I went to Rutgers.
Yeah.
Like, is that a rivalry? Rutgers and Princeton? Like,
weird New Jersey.
Weird New Jersey college rivalry?
Yeah, it all comes down to this. Like, okay.
That seems really unprofessional, too.
Yeah. I was
like, if Justin Timberlake was a Harvard guy, he wouldn't have brought him in.
Yeah.
I was expecting some other guy to be in the room and be like, yeah, and I went to Morrisville State, you know.
That's what I was saying. I was saying that'd be like...
I'm a Phoenix.
Yeah. I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
I like to screw over SU guys because I went to Cortland.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We now find out that his friend was beat half to death, but the FBI saved him. who...
Wait, which friend is this? I was Jonah Hill at this point.
The poor man's Jonah Hill.
Okay. I was never sure that that other friend who was leaving actually got off the island or not.
Who knows?
I guess he did.
Yeah, I guess so.
He never sent a postcard from home or anything. So.
Oh, wait, I thought that Jonah Hill guy was killed. He was just beaten up badly.
He gets a call from the FBI and they say, he was beaten half to death, but he'll live. And just think Timberlake's like, oh, thank God.
That's probably
thrown or if you want to be optimistic, he was beaten half to life.
That's probably thrown in last minute because they forgot to address it.
And we should say, throughout this, we've seen Justin Timberlake starting to set up his own network of bribes. He's handing out bribes all around.
It's almost like he's this is kind of like that callback, like he's bribing the cops the difference of what Ben Affleck is shortchanging them. Well, to win their favor.
My favorite thing, it comes up again later, just as you know, to mention it, is because he keeps talking about this guy, El Capitan. He's bribing El Capitan. And it's like, okay.
This is
one
of those scenes like, who is this guy?
Yeah, it comes back at the end. I'm like, oh my God. Like, that was freaking ridiculous. Yeah.
I really thought that was like symbolic for something, but it was
like there's a show, The Bridge, on FX, and they have a guy they call El Capitan. He's like the head of some like crime syndicate or something, or I think he's like a dirty cop or something. But so I thought it was something like that, like he's the head of something. But when you find out what he actually is, it's like the dumbest freaking thing.
It's very literal. Oh, yeah.
And he says it, and he, when Justin Timberlake first bribed him, like his name is El Capitan. That's what he is.
If this movie would have been better if they had gone in and it was a cartoon Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
And
he was like, I run this town.
I'm El Capitan Crunch.
I wiped out Jean Lafitte and now it's all me.
What I also liked about the bribe scenes is because they do, like, for some reason, two layers of, like, bribe montages for no reason.
Yeah.
But the first time he's like, it's time to buy some good favor here in Costa Rica. And they show him, like, you know, stuffing these wads of cash in cigar boxes. So they do, like, that, like, two-minute scene of him bribing all these people. And then, like, 20 minutes later, they basically replay that scene. Yeah. And once again, the montage is, like, the way things work in Costa Rica. You give people money, they do favors for you. Like, yeah, like, we've established that bribes are part of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to explain at this point what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I was waiting for, like, a news reporting montage where they're like... There's an outburst of bribes here in Costa Rica. Bribes being where you pay someone money to do something.
It's a double elimination round.
Otherwise called cajoling with money. It's like, my God, how stupid do you think we are?
Should have shown shots of Justin Timberlake like pouring cash into like a bowl full of batter, like he's baking a cake with the money in it.
It's like they beat into your head what bribes are, but don't establish who the main characters in the movie are.
So now, I mean, the big conclusion, we can kind of talk through it, is... Somehow, I don't know, one of Ivan Block's guys like sees Justin Timberlake talking to guys bribing, and then it becomes.
And then there's another potential scene of him getting into a car.
Yeah,
getting into a car, and then the people he's been bribing save him, and then Ben Affleck. We don't really understand what Ben Affleck is doing, but apparently his gaming websites are a scam.
Well, yeah, apparently,
somebody mentioned something at some point about a Ponzi scheme. Well, apparently,
all the accounts are empty. Like, everybody, all the players' accounts are empty. He's just taking all the money, and he keeps enough money, like, in reserve, so if someone wants to check out or cash out, he has money to give them. But basically,
well, I guess it is kind of like
Ponzi. He's just got everybody's money. And somehow he's got Justin Timberlake's name all over everything, all this evidence, so it looks like he's in charge of it if something happens and he gets caught.
Right.
Scapegoat.
So he's...
Yeah. Well, there's basically a line with Justin Timberlake where he basically just says... the cops bust a bunch of people and took care of it. And then he's like, Ben Affleck realizes this and starts to leave. And so he's getting on a plane and he calls Timberlake and he's like...
This was the best conversation ever.
He's like, hey, where are you? And Timberlake's like, he's obviously like at an airport or something. And he's like, oh, I'm at work. What's going on? The site's frozen, all this stuff. And Affleck's like, listen, you're going to get arrested. The feds are coming for you right now. I'm sorry that this had to happen. I like you a lot. Goodbye. And it's like,
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
If I had to do it again, I'd do it the same way. Maybe a guy's going to punch you in the face. We'll see.
In fact, if you do get arrested by the feds, if you do ever get out, I want you to come back here and I want you to say, would you want me to do it again?
Yeah.
It might have been. That was like the lamest, like, last speech by a bad guy ever.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that literally was it. He was like, you're going to get arrested now. Sorry about that. You seem like a good kid, but it's the way it has to be. See ya.
So he gets in a plane
with Strawberry Field.
With Gretel.
With Gemma Atherton.
And
he thinks he's going to. He's trying to go
Antigua.
To
Antigua. I think he thinks he's going to Antigua.
Okay. So he lands. Well, he sees Justin Timberlake getting on a plane with his father, and they fly away, and then Affleck lands and he gets off the plane.
Which I just like to chip in for a second. Wouldn't it be great if Justin Timberlake at some point was like, "Dad, I totally set up a blackmail where I had a married guy who had a kid and had him have sex with a ton of prostitutes. I am a bad person."
Now we're gonna forget about that.
Yeah.
So he Affleck gets off the plane. And he's, you know, all like, "Hey, yeah, I'm free now," or whatever. And then Timberlake walks from behind the plane. He's like, "Oh, hey.
Or are you?
I'm here, too."
Yeah. Hello.
And he's on the house. I can't remember what he's saying to him. Something like, you know.
Something like.
"You're an idiot." And
yeah, you're an idiot.
Now. And,
ha-ha. I can bribe people, too.
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
That's right.
Including the most important person bribed.
So Affleck goes, "Oh, well, you know, you can't do anything to me here." And he goes, "Where do you think we are?" And he's like, "Antigua." And he goes, "No." And he looks at the flags. It's like Puerto Rico. And right. He's like, "You're on American soil."
Look
or something.
To your left.
And Affleck looks back at the plane, and El Capitan walks out, and he's the captain of the plane. He's a pilot.
Yeah.
And there's a VO line with Timberlake. He goes, "The captain, a man of his word." like, are you serious? He's a freaking pilot. You've been bribing the whole time.
Well, that's what
you can fly into Puerto Rico.
I'm like, this whole movie comes down to Justin Timberlake bribing a pilot of a charter plane? I'm like, God.
So then the feds all come up and they arrest Affleck.
They arrest Affleck, and then Justin Timberlake had another, like, sent this hard drive, and a guy comes up and gives a hard drive to the FBI agent.
As they fly away, FBI agent.
Can we also talk about the fact that there are basically grounds for a mistrial when Anthony Mackie reads Ben Affleck his Miranda rights and drops an F-bomb in the middle of the Miranda rights?
Yeah.
Like, guess you're not going to arrest him.
Right.
Well, I love it because after they arrest Affleck, the agent goes over to one of the other agents and he's like, "I want to debrief Timberlake right now. I want to talk to him right now." And they look over and the plane's flying away with Timberlake on it. And he's like, "Stop that plane! Stop that plane!" Everyone starts freaking out. They're driving out to the plane. And then some guy walks up to Mackie and goes, "Here." And Mackie's like, "Oh, thanks." He hands him like an envelope and he opens it and it's a hard drive.
And then he's like,
"Which is what he wanted Timberlake for."
And then he's like,
"That guy's okay.
That guy's all right."
He's a
free
man.
Literally, the end of the movie is Justin Timberlake on the plane with Gemma Atherton. And she says, "So what do you want to do now?" And he's like, "Oh, man, living the high life on a plane." And then it like cuts to black.
That's it.
Like,
what? Is his dad like still on one of those
planes? He's in Puerto Rico.
He's left on that one plane.
He's just like,
he's playing poker with El Capitan.
Yeah,
but the dad wasn't on the plane with El Capitan. Right, he was on the plane with Justin Timberlake. That in theory is just still there.
Justin Timberlake forgot about him.
The dad's like, "Can I come out now?"
Yeah, seriously, where are we going?
Timberlake forgot about him again.
Yeah. Damn it, I always forget about my dad.
My dad's trapped in Puerto Rico.
Didn't I have a dad or something?
Just a little background of this movie. They knew in post production they were in trouble.
Oh, God.
And sources told The Hollywood Reporter that the director lost control of the film during production. it's widely speculated that Leonardo DiCaprio is credited as a producer on this movie. That.
Really?
A lot of people think that Leonardo DiCaprio probably was attached to this at one point as an actor.
Like maybe the Ben Affleck role?
I could see him playing that role.
So. Maybe the Ben Affleck role. Well, and some people also thought this may have been Leonardo DiCaprio may have been considering him in the Timberlake role and Jack Nicholson in the Affleck role. Which I
would have made it much more
with a better script that could work.
Well, with a better script, a lot of things possible.
Good point.
But they knew things were bad in production and during post production. Ben Affleck actually brought in his editor, the guy who edited Argo and Ben Affleck's movies, to try to salvage things. And I guess they said that things, apparently, the cut we saw is slightly better than earlier cuts, which is terrifying to me. And this is a movie at 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, like I think we were saying, I think I was talking to you, how the movie is definitely like technically better made than Paranoia. I think it's better made, probably better acted by most people.
But even more boring.
But it's more boring, more dull. The script is the problem. It's not the editing or the shooting or directing. It's just the script is
It's so dull and so nonsensey. and like whatever input. I mean, Timberlake is a big enough name that he must have had some input, and there's no arc to his character.
Right.
I mean, which if you look at a movie like Rounders, what makes Rounders brilliant, and I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. If you haven't seen Rounders, see it. Is the movie has a strange arc and has a very non-traditional Hollywood ending. It kind of defies traditional like third act structure and arcs, but does it in a brilliant way. This is just doing it in a terrible way.
Yeah.
I have to hope that that this was killed in rewrites, and because I think those guys are super talented in their other work. Yeah, really terrible. In fact, I hated this movie so much that I refuse to do a So Wrong It's Right question about
That's
it.
That's all right.
Yeah, but we do have two questions that have come in via our Twitter and Facebook just from people we can discuss. The first one is from longtime fan of the show and good friend Max Winters, who he started it off as a suggestion on Facebook that we look at Outland, the awful Sean Connery, like high noon in space science fiction movie, which then spiraled into a discussion of... When you say science fiction and Sean Connery, it gets you into a lot of... Like, you're going down a crazy road.
Oh, yeah, you are.
So which Sean Connery science fiction movie should we do next? So throw out just some of the possibilities. Zardoz, the movie best known for essentially Sean Connery in a diaper in space. Outland, which is...
In the name of the space, Raj.
Yeah, a terrible, like, a Western in space. The Avengers, not... The Avengers, the superhero. The Avengers, the terrible movie with Sean Connery and Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman. Or League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Was the other one we were bringing in.
Oh, that was bad.
And we're not even talking yet about Highlander 2, which should also I would make my case. The one I would... I think... I'm torn between League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Zardoz. I haven't seen Zardoz, but Sean Connery in a diaper in space.
I have seen it. It's worth it. Yes. Zardoz all the way.
Okay. Any other preferences by anybody?
We could do all of them.
They really are all doable.
We should do like a Sean Connery review and just do them all in a row.
Yeah. What a esh with an H.
Esh.
Yeah. That's if you're ever looking for the key to how to do a Connery impression, that's what it is. S with an H. There's also a great YouTube video of a guy who took a clip of all these Sean Connery clips explaining that that's really how you just do it. Once you know that key, you can do Connery. Our other one is a question that came in from a friend of mine. I'm going to give him the pseudonym Doug. Who wrote in and very nicely.
Is he wanted in Costa Rica?
He may be wanted. And Anthony Mackie is about to beat all of us up if we don't help catch him.
He did not go to Rutgers.
Yeah. And his question was this. He said, I really like the theme show music for Stop the Movie. And said, have you guys ever considered doing remixes of the Stop the Movie theme for like special episodes? And I'll give you my answer. And the answer, Doug, is yes, we have considered it. But we had a lot of Beatles-like band problems. We all kind of wanted to do like an easy listening version for like a romantic comedy, but we all thought our Aaron Neville impression was the funniest, and things broke down.
Yeah.
Then
mine's clearly the best.
Well, we agree to disagree.
Let's all be a different singer and sing a song. I'll be Michael McDonald.
That's my choice.
This
all
is
right,
where these things
I can
go
see.
Downhill.
Ain't
no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
I don't know much, but
I know I love you.
That's my Aaron Neville.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't sing.
I'll do Tom Waits.
Tom Waits.
Oh God, let's see.
Come on, Jack. Well, you can do something.
I gotta think of something to sing. I gotta come up with lyrics off the top of my head here. Let's see.
All right, we'll come back to you, Jack.
Put me on the spot.
Jack, you're killing it.
Yeah, we also wanted to do a jazz version, but we all thought we could do
my first love, your every step that I take, your every move I make. As a Lionel Richie, I don't know, it's terrible.
It really wasn't terrible, but I do love that was the first one you thought of.
Endless Love, I guess, because that remake.
I don't know much, but I know how I love you.
Then we wanted to do a classic rock version of the Stop the Movie theme, but we all wanted to be the one playing the cowbell.
Yeah.
So couldn't settle that.
Before cowbells.
Yeah.
Five cowbells if my father ever shows up.
Yeah. And then we wanted to do a techno version. But we all wanted to be the one who yelled out Mortal Kombat in the background. We couldn't have five guys yelling Mortal Kombat.
And so, Honky Tonk was just no, out of the question.
That's right. You know, and the jazz version, we all thought we were the best scat jazz vocalist until we all then determined we were all the worst scat jazz vocalist.
We had no talent.
Yeah, that was actually a very ugly experiment.
And my father giggled every time he said scat jazz.
That's right. So that's the behind-the-scenes story of our remixes. You know, it really
It wasn't worth risking a breakup.
It was a terrible, like, behind-the-music story of, you know, things really spiraled quickly.
I should do some remixes for different episodes.
That's something to think about.
Stop the movie, I wanna get out.
And
I did create that theme in, like, 10 minutes. So it didn't take too long.
Well, you don't have to brag about it.
Wow, yeah.
Did the Syracuse Symphony Orchestra to do a cover?
Have you written a theme for a podcast, Brian?
Not lately.
I think we should each submit our own theme just for fun. We won't bump out the original theme, but just, you know, the less musical talent we have, the more funny it will be.
And I wanted to bring up another topic for it, because we were all in the I, Frankenstein episode. Normally these movies kind of go away and we erase them from our minds as quickly as we can from doing one. I, Frankenstein stuck around because, as you remember in the movie, if you've heard the episode, there's a scene set in a decrepit apartment.
Oh, did you find something?
Well, Cody and I both tweeted at I, Frankenstein about to try to clear up whose apartment was this.
Yeah.
I, Frankenstein did not answer us. However, I did do more research. Fangoria, in their review, is on our side, that it is the scientist's apartment.
Yes,
they believe it to be the scientist's apartment. Andy Wolf found another review that was more vague and blasted the movie for not establishing why they were in this, like, bombed out apartment and why it had running water and electricity and everyone seemed comfortable there, but it seemed to at the same time be no one's home. So the question goes on. If you're connected to I, Frankenstein, or if you're familiar with, like, the graphic novel, if you're familiar with the story, feel free to send us a message or tweet at us at @windupfilms. Whose apartment was this? Sticking with it was the scientist's apartment.
I do want to. I have to point out too. I was telling Alex this last night. How last weekend my father and my brother and I were together, and my father told my brother, he goes, "Oh, I went to see that I, Frankenstein last weekend. I loved it." And I'm like, "You loved it?" He's like, I immediately texted Alex because he's like,
Andy and I argued about this yesterday because he announced his plans to buy it when it hits DVD.
Yeah,
which I first mocked. And then scaled back on and said, actually, that's a great idea because we need to listen to the commentary track. Like, whatever commentary track comes to this movie, it may answer many of our questions.
So he went from loving it to then not loving it once he found out that...
That it wasn't a comic book
movie. It wasn't a comic book movie.
And then he thought about it some more.
He loves it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a fool believes...
And this is, even though the episode's over, I'm going to do...
Like the movie or not.
We're going to do two love dits, not for this movie, Runner Runner, but for I, Frankenstein. One of them is in honor of Andy
Wolf. Going back to I, Frankenstein?
We're going back to I, Frankenstein.
Not? You know, why not?
This was too... I read this one, and I didn't print it out for I, Frankenstein, but it made me laugh. And it's. I think Andy would have loved this. I wish he was here.
I wish he was here, too. God damn it, Andy, why did you have to die? Oh, wait, he's just not here.
This review... is a, not 10-star, but a 9-star review.
Oh,
the title of the review is Fun and Respectful to the Source Material.
But it was the source material.
To the script? Yes.
I just want to read the first line of the review, and then we'll give some more information on the review. The first line of the review is, I just watched I, Frankenstein, and in all honesty, it's not bad. So I thought Andy Wolf would appreciate the review. I should, however, read the disclaimer this person put with their review.
I'm drunk?
Disclaimer. I write this review on nearly 2.5 days without sleep and functioning on 2 cups of tea. So I think that explains why someone thought it was okay.
Boy, I wonder what kind of life someone lives where they haven't slept for 2.5 days, and yet within that time they chose to see I, Frankenstein rather than sleep.
That's true.
And didn't at least, like... Yeah, that they didn't fall asleep in the theater.
Choice.
And I wanted to read this one from Groovy Jazz Chick 8. I'm sorry, Groovy Jazz Chick 889. I thought it was Groovy Jazz Chick 887. I'm sorry. I don't want to demean Groovy Jazz Chick 887.
I didn't realize you have a name like Groovy Jazz Chick and have to put that many numbers.
That's a lot of numbers. That's kind of disheartening. Her review. The title of the review is. Frankenstein not only creates a good monster, but a good movie too.
Hmm.
And this review may contain spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
And again, we should just note, this is a user review. This is not like a real critic review, a user review on IMDb. So user reviews just essentially exist here on the website. You're not going to see one on the blurb of a movie poster. Right. Okay. I, Frankenstein is the new action jammed. Action jammed? Wait.
I want to spread some action jam on that toast.
I, Frankenstein is the new action jammed thriller surrounding the mysterious creation of Frankenstein's monster. Nope. Not covered in the movie, actually.
And it's not mysterious. Everybody knows. No, it's common knowledge.
She watched like the porno version of that.
Who is named Adam in the film.
I, Frankenstein.
And what Adam's purpose is. Meanwhile, a demon prince is plotting to unleash millions of demons from hell to possess corpses and animate them so the demons can wage war against humanity and destroy them. Although the plot sounds a little familiar... Whoa, what? Okay.
Isn't that the plot for Casablanca? Gone with the Wind? Yeah. White Heat? No?
Although
Gone with the Wind with Doodle Dandy?
That's right. Although the plot sounds a little familiar... It's actually a steady-paced and captivating film, which delivers mountain loads of battle scenes. It's a weird way to phrase that.
It's mountain jammed with action.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a mountain. How much is a mountain?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
This is a mountain load of something.
Which delivers mountain loads of battle scenes, as well as stunning imagery. Despite the lack of development of the characters and the predictable storyline, it is an enthralling and visually arresting movie. Overall, I would recommend this film to young teenagers looking to spend a couple of hours being entertained by a decent action movie.
That actually said
Sean Connery.
I know. Decent action movie.
Once I slip into Connery, I can never get out.
That's what she said.
A couple of hours of hey-ho. A couple of hours being entertained by a decent action movie, as the battling is slick and speedy, and the characters are varied and likable in their own ways. I don't... That last part is really the...
Also, whose apartment was that?
That's what we really need. If someone needs to
write
a review on that.
Could JazzChick887 establish whether or not that apartment was the scientist's or Adam's?
Well, first of all, JazzChick889.
889.
Don't bring JazzChick887 into this.
886 is banned from this podcast after the last incident.
Yeah, we're not. I don't want to drag her name through the mud. What a hot mess. Okay. We'll do a quick so bad it's good. No, this is just a no right?
No, it's just boring. Yeah, I mean, there were some things, obviously, to laugh at in terms of how they got it wrong, but within the story structure of the film, there was nothing really that made me laugh. No.
Yeah, this is just terrible. Justin Timberlake is obviously talented. I think Ben Affleck is a talented filmmaker. But I don't... Yeah, this is not...
Sometimes it doesn't matter who's attached to a project.
Yeah, no saving it. I think that brings this one to a close. We will be back, and next episode we'll be returning to the Nicolas Cage territory. Cage-matic.
How to get made!
We will be talking about Trespass, the 2011...
Trespass.
2011, a movie? I don't even know.
2011, really?
I think it's 2011.
Yeah, it is 2011.
Nicolas Cage, Nicole Kidman, Joel Schumacher, A lot of heavyweights behind this one. Highly recommended. It's not hard to find. I think
it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix right now. It's it's Netflix streaming right now. So yeah, check that out. And I think that brings this one to a close. Everyone on board?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Until next time. When my friend sent me that email, all I could think of was a techno version of our theme with just like randomly our voices being like, Mortal Kombat!